Hello and welcome to the podcast Paper Trail Pro. In our previous podcast, we examined the legacy of General Sir Frank Kitson, renowned British military strategist and author. In this podcast, our fourth, we examine the outworkings of his counterinsurgency policy on the streets of Belfast by looking at the killing of young mother Jean Smith Campbell on June the 8th, 1972. The state police told her family that she was killed by Republican paramilitaries, but the state's files prove that she was killed by state forces. In the frame are the Military Reaction Force, a clandestine special force unit developed and deployed by Kitson, which left a trail of dead civilians in its wake. My name is Kieran McArch, and I work with the charity Paper Trail, which helps victims and survivors, former combatants and families impacted by the latest conflict in the north of Ireland. A key facet of our support is to help these families access official information buried in archives for decades. Sometimes our work leads us to uncover heinous killings perpetrated and covered up by the state, the very people and organisations that are supposed to have defended the basic human rights of every citizen instead of killing them and burying the truth. Jean's story is one of those horrific crimes. Single mother Jean Smith Campbell was shot dead on the Glen Road, West Belfast, just before midnight of 8th, 9th of June 1972. The car in which she was a passenger was attacked for absolutely no reason. Her family was given scant information except to say that she was murdered by the Irish Republican Army, or IRA, and probably because local IRA volunteers mistook the car for an undercover British Army vehicle. But there was no evidence for this. In fact, the Royal Ulster Constabulary, RUC, did not even secure and examine the bus terminus where she was shot dead. Ballistic tests that the RUC took proved insufficient to detail even the type or calibre of the ammunition used when examined as late as 2006 and 2007, or so they told Jean's family. But this perturbed the family as they testify that they heard machine gun fire when Jean was shot dead, and actually witnessed the bullet-ridden car, because Jean's father, William, was picked up in it by the survivor of the attack after Jean's body was bundled into the back of a taxi and taken towards the hospital. It never reached the hospital, though, as the taxi, with Jean still in the back, was stopped and taken into Andersonstown Police Station. No explanation has been given for this. The Historical Inquiries team has recently reported that the car was only hit with one bullet, though, based on an undated report by an RUC scene of crime officer. Nevertheless, photographs taken of the car at the time had disappeared from police files. So too had the post-mortem examination. The family are adamant that the car was riddled. Police photos then reappeared, but an expert has told the family that the police have not made the full set available. Specifically, the police has retained the photographs which depict the side of the car hit by gunfire. In fact, the family have since had to pursue the police through the courts to access the full set of photographs. The withholding of photographic evidence by the present police force is but the tip of a chronic cover-up in Jean's murder, a cover-up which began on the night of her killing. An interesting article appeared in the Belfast Telegraph over a year later in October 1973, which asked, "Was Jean Smith shot by mistake?" In it, the writer questioned whether a covert unit of the British Army called Military Reaction Force, or MRF, had killed Jean by mistake, as a similar attack was carried out by the MRF 2 weeks later in exactly the same place, the bus terminus on the Glen Road, where four civilians were shot in another unprovoked attack. That unit, which included Captain James Alistair MacGregor and Sergeant Clive Graham Williams, got off absolutely scot-free, even though the four civilians were unarmed and the soldiers were using non-army issue Thompson submachine gun, which was favoured by the IRA at that time, and bullets from RUC police stores. The Belfast Telegraph writer details the circumstantial evidence for this, but then concludes that it appeared that the IRA shot Jean thinking that there was British Army personnel in the car. After all, he writes, there were no reports at the time of the army being in the area, and there was no organisation prepared to admit the killing. At no point does the Historical Inquiries Team, or HET, raise this question of MRF culpability, even though they recounted this newspaper article and the Lost Lives in Searching, which also quotes it. Over the anniversary of Jean's murder in 2014, Paper Trail accessed files from Headquarters Northern Ireland in the National Archives, London, which provided critical evidence regarding her murder. The secret files contained sensitive reports from British Army and RUC units throughout the North, copied in an operations log as they were reported. There are several reports from the British security forces that the car in which Jean was murdered was indeed machine gunned, just as Jean's family testify. One from the British Army reports, Mrs. Jean Smith was a passenger in a car travelling through Andersonstown and was at a roundabout when it was machine gunned. There was even a report to the same from the RUC recording the testimony of the survivor. He thought he had a puncture. He got out and there was a burst of fire which hit the car. The car, of course, had been examined and photographed by an RUC scene of crime officer by this time. But the only report of a number of bullets being expended in the area was a retrospective record which noted that a covert unit of the MRF had in fact fired 10 bullets from a car at alleged targets behind a hedge in that very area, which was a few hundred metres short of the school. Even though it was pitch black, the unit was travelling in a car and the targets were hiding behind a hedge, the MRF claimed a hit and reported that one had a rifle. Its archives record, 0140 hours, MRF travelling west along Glen Road, 300 metres short of Oliver Plunkett School. They saw two gunmen hiding behind a hedge. Patrol fired 10 by 9mm rounds and claimed one hit. Within the very same serial, in that very area, the logs record that women were accusing the security forces of murder. At no point does the HET record that these accusations were raised and that the MRF were in action at that exact location that very night. The retrospective report by the MRF is incongruous to the other records, as no other regiments report the burst of fire at that time and there were no gunshot casualties admitted to hospital which could be tied to the account. This in itself does not prove anything, however suspicious it may be, except, and this is horrific to have found this, we now have proof that the British Army Brigade Major on duty in Headquarters Northern Ireland that night connects Jean's murder to a shooting by the security forces. The record by the Brigade Major, who was in charge of British military operations at Headquarters Northern Ireland on the night of Jean's murder, states, police are dealing with the dead girl found in the taxi. It is known that the security forces claimed a hit in the KP-19 shooting. KP-19 was Key Point 19 in British military parlance. A sanger and the area covered by the sanger overlooking the bus terminus on Glen Road where Jean Smith Campbell was shot dead. As soon as the family published this file though, the British Ministry of Defence closed it whilst access was reviewed, even though it was open to the public since 2003. This of course was a little too late, as we photographed every single page. Nevertheless, these moves make a mockery of any notion of freedom of information, open government, never mind truth or justice. The family took this information to their legal representative, Neil O'Murhu, of Madden and Finucane Solicitors, along with the failed HET report, and they featured in litigation and a complaint against the police. In a historic ruling in the High Court in 2017, Justice Maguire provided a searing indictment of investigations by the police, past and present. He judged that for the investigation to go forward, now under the auspices of the Legacy Investigation Branch, LIB, would be wrong, as in the circumstances the Police Service of Northern Ireland would not be perceived as passing the test for independence for this purpose. Justice Maguire concluded that the proposed investigation by the LIB conflicts with the requirements of Article 2 of the European Convention of Human Rights, as the LIB lack the requisite independence required to perform an Article 2 compliant investigation in respect of this death. Neil O'Murhu, the family's legal representative, has worked tirelessly for the family. After the historic ruling, he correctly summed up the significance of the case for us all. This is a very important judgment for not only the Campbell family, but also potentially many other families who are seeking properly independent and Article 2 compliant investigations into their loved ones' deaths. The ruling set legal precedent and this judgment of the PSNI lacking the independence to investigate the murder. This is highly significant for hundreds of other families who lost loved ones during the conflict, but who do not trust PSNI to investigate legacy killings because of its ingrained institutional bias. For many families, the DNA of the PSNI is inextricably linked to that of RUC, and they believe the PSNI has proved it is more interested in denial and delay rather than truth and justice. In the case of the murder of Jean Smith Campbell, the court agrees. You can view all of these archives on our website, www.papertrail.pro, and keep up to date with the family's campaign for truth. There you will also find details of our project, which offers advocacy support to victims and survivors of the conflict. We help those who may wish to engage with statutory bodies dealing with the legacy of the past. We work closely with campaigners and legal teams to target and retrieve key archives from public records. This project is supported by the European Union's Peace Four programme, managed by the Special EU Programmes Body and Victims and Survivors Service. It should be noted, though, that the views and opinions in this podcast are mine and mine alone and may not be shared by the funders or the charity. With that disclaimer, I leave you. Next time, I examine the mysterious release of the most wanted loyalist from police custody in a podcast entitled Gusty Spence and the Myth of the Orange Pimpernel. Thank you and goodbye.